Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
The significant impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on the economy seems to be receding. Exchequer figures for the first 3 months of the year show that the tax take has increased by almost one third, while government spending is down on the same period in 2021. That's good news for the public finances, but these figures don't take into account the devastating fiscal and economic impact in recent weeks of the war in Ukraine, the resulting migration crisis, and the global sanctions regime against Russia. Well, to discuss these issues, we're joined on the line now by the Minister for Finance and President of the Euro Group, Pascal Donoghue. And Minister, welcome to Drive Time this evening.
Good evening, Sarah.
We heard a clip from you there in the news headlines, speaking at a news conference earlier, talking about how the war in Ukraine will have an impact on Ireland's economic performance and growth. Can you outline to us at this point what you expect or what you foresee in terms of the economic impact over the rest of the year?
So across the rest of this year, I expect a very strong recovery that we've had in employment in our country to be maintained. We now have more people working in Ireland than we've ever had before. I'm confident for this full year we will maintain that. I expect the growth of our performance, the growth of our economy to diminish versus where we would have been without the war. But I still expect our economy to grow. And I do expect inflation to be higher than, again, we would have expected on budget time. And the government next week will receive a forecast from me, and I lay out our best judgment on the figures in relation to those trends at that point.
I know the central bank slashed its growth forecasts today, and they still expect the economy to grow, just as you've said as well. They expect it to grow by 4.8% this year, but just 3 months ago was expecting 7.1% of growth this year. So quite a significant downward projection there. Do you think that all those pressures in terms of growth are as a result of the war, or are there other factors?
I think many of them are due to the war, but I don't think all of them are due to the war. Before the war hit the people of Ukraine, and before we had to deal with the economic and humanitarian consequences of it, we were already experiencing changes in the global economy in relation to how the supply chains for really important products was not working as well as it used to, and we were already seeing inflationary pressures begin to build. What happened with the impact of the war is many of those forces were accelerated and then broadened. By broadened, I mean, for example, we're now seeing concerns in relation to the availability of key ingredients for food, which we can attribute that to where we were and where we are with the consequences of the war. So it's a mixture overall, Sarah, with many difficulties that we had earlier on in the year being exacerbated by the effect of the war in Ukraine.
And of course, more yet to come, particularly with sanctions and the impact that we don't yet know, I suppose, of what sanctions agreed by the EU and others will have on Ireland's economy. Further sanctions agreed by EU leaders yesterday, and the Irish Times reporting today that Russian billionaire Oleg Deripaska, he's a major shareholder in Oganish Alumni in Limerick, that he is on a list of individuals that are under consideration by the European Union to be sanctioned as well in response to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Is it your understanding that he will be on that list?
I'm afraid I cannot give an answer in relation to who could be on a sanction list or not, because it could indeed undermine the enforcement of that sanction when a decision is made. I am aware of speculation in relation to who would be on it, but as a member of government who will sign off on the decision, and our ambassador is involved in this process, I cannot comment at this point regarding who could be in it or not, because I could undermine the ability of these sanctions to have the effect that we want in a few days' time. Of course, however, I am aware of the real importance of Oganish Aluminium to our economy, to the region, and indeed the role that it plays in the supply of aluminium into Europe. Mm. And that point is recognised by the government, and we've engaged with that really important employer in recent weeks.
And it has been reported that Ireland at EU level has been arguing against Mr. Deripaska being included on the list because of the importance of Oganish Alumni in Limerick to employment. Is that correct?
Well, there has been representations made by all governments in relation to the development and the breadth of sanctions. and we've put views forward in relation to their operation like every other government has. But again, given the sensitivity of sanctions and how they're enforced, I can't comment on what could happen later on in the week or our role in
it. Sure. No, I understand that. But the question is, what is our position on it now? Are we arguing that he shouldn't be sanctioned?
What we are now arguing for is the broadest set of sanctions that are possible at this point in time, given in particular the developments that have taken place over the weekend and the further additional awful sights that we have seen. We, of course, do want to be in a position that employment and investment that we have in our country, that we are able to maintain that, and that in particular, we don't find ourselves in a situation that the supply of really important materials into our economy or into Europe is compromised or indeed disappears. And, you know, that is a factor that we are aware of, but overall, we want the strongest sanctions possible.
All right. I'm still not entirely clear on what our position is on him. I would really like to move on, but because I do understand what you're saying, it's very important that we protect the employment and the jobs in the plant as much as possible. But is Ireland arguing against sanctions being imposed on Mr. Deripaska?
Look, if I start answering that question, every government, every minister will be involved in who do they want in and out of sanctions.
Okay.
There are options in relation to how sanctions are implemented and enforced that do have the strong effect on the Russian economy that we want. And obviously what we are doing is putting forward options that do, we believe, meet the effect of targeting the ability of the Russian economy to fund the war waged
right.
by Vladimir Putin. But at the same time, understandably, every government is trying to find the balance between doing that and not making the economic situation and challenges and employment risks that we could face even worse.
All right, we'll move on. Senior government ministers, including both the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, have been saying over the last couple of weeks repeatedly that there isn't going to be any mini budget to deal with the cost of living issues that people are facing, and the Taoiseach telling the Dáil this week that the government just can't be making major fiscal decisions on a monthly basis in response to the cost of living. But how are we to do things like, for example, he also said that we'll offset the carbon tax rise or vary VAT and excise. How can we do that without budgetary measures?
Well, by a budget, what he would refer to and what I would refer to is a broad set of decisions that we would make about all of our spending and all tax measures and social welfare measures, which is a feature of a budget that we do in October. We are not going to do that, but what we have done in between is, for example, a set of announcements that I made there a few weeks ago in relation to excise. They are interventions in relation to taxation, but they do fall some way short of what a budget day announcement would look like, which covers all areas of taxation and all areas of spending.
Okay, so because Eamon Ryan was speaking to Morning Ireland on Monday and he referenced further targeted supports in the coming weeks for people who are in fuel poverty, for example. Can I take it from what you're saying that those won't be budgetary measures?
Well, they will involve the expenditure of money, obviously, but a budget day announcement, as we have each year, refers to the total amount of money the government is spending
okay.
and every element of taxation that we're involved in.
So there will be budgetary measures in the next couple of weeks?
There will be, for example, expenditure decisions in the next couple of weeks, which will be consistent with the budget day framework that I announced last October. So, for example, a government making decision to spend some of the contingency reserve that we set aside for this year is clearly an economic intervention within the year, but isn't a budget.
Okay.
And like I think we need to be careful not to split hairs in relation to this. What we want to try and do is help in the here and now, help with those who are affected the most, particularly the most vulnerable, dealing with rising costs. And, for example, enforce measures that we have done a few weeks ago, you know, in relation
all
to
right.
the energy rebate.
But so they
themselves
don't represent
a new budget. because they are inside all of the plans that I announced last October.
All right. I just want to ask you finally then, Minister, about Tony Holohan, who has left the Department of Health to go to Trinity College, but the Department of Health is continuing to pay his salary of more than 187,000, even though he's on an open-ended secondment to Trinity. Now, your colleague Michael McGrath has said today that his department's approval wasn't sought for the arrangement. He said that the characteristics of the arrangement are unusual, that it could have been handled better, that secondments by their nature are usually generally temporary in nature. This particular one is open-ended in nature. He said that's unusual, and that there are questions that arise here that will have to be answered. Do you agree there are questions here that need to be answered?
So first, I believe Tony Holohan has performed great service to our state, and as he moves on to the next phase of his career, I would prefer that he is in the public service and able to help with the challenge of pandemic preparedness and how we can learn from the past, which I do believe the kind of role that he would be moving into is an ingredient in that. But I was sitting beside Minister McGrath when he made those comments, which of course I agree with. And what he went on to say then is that of course he's going to be engaging with the Department of Health on the back of a briefing that he has received to more fully understand these issues. Minister McGrath made the point that not every single secondment or personnel decision is one that he or the Department of Public Expenditure need to be involved in. But there are some features of the decision that has been made and the announcement that he does want to understand further and get clarification on. And of course, I support him in that.
All right, Minister Pascal Donoghue, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Sarah.